Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast on the 21st of October, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank. Thanks for joining us. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller are here too with the news, including a preview of this week's National FFA Convention in Indianapolis and a preview of the new Indiana Ag Policy Podcast from HAT with the Democrat candidate for Lieutenant Governor. The HAT podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more. Also today, HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin tells us how much more dry weather is ahead. And Friday, grains and oil seeds lower again. We'll have settlements and Brian Basting market analysis on the HAT Monday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Get profit-boosting knowledge from no-till experts, innovators, legends, and your fellow farmers at the 33rd Annual National No-Tillage Conference in Louisville, January 7th through 10th. The National No-Tillage Conference provides the practical tips and information farmers need to run a more successful and profitable no-till operation. This conference offers a mix of thought-provoking general sessions, collaborative no-till roundtables, and expert-led no-till classrooms with the likes of corn yield record holder Russell Hedrick, world-renowned soil biologist Jill Clapperton, 2024 Conservation Ag Operator Fellow and no-till legend Ray McCormick, and many more. Plus, pesticide recertification and certified crop advisor credits will be available to qualifying attendees. Register using promo code RADIO and save 10%. Learn more and register at notillconference.com. That's notillconference.com.
A preview of this week's National FFA Convention and Expo in downtown Indianapolis and the ag policies of Indiana's Democratic candidate for Lieutenant Governor. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. More than 70,000 students wearing blue corduroy jackets will soon be making their way to downtown Indianapolis for the 97th National FFA Convention and Expo.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it almost feels like a family reunion.
And that's Amira Jackson from Michigan, who is serving out her final week as National FFA President. The event kicks off Wednesday and runs through Saturday. She says one of the highlights of the event is the expo at the Indiana Convention Center, which features more than 300 different exhibitors. And those include ag colleges such as Purdue and Michigan State. And they also include some of the country's top ag businesses like Corteva Agriscience and Case IH.
That expo is a great chance for students who maybe are unsure of their next step after high school to kind of figure out and have conversations in the agriculture industry of what could be that next step for them. That is the best place to walk around and have conversations with like-minded people to ensure your future success.
Meanwhile, inside Lucas Oil Stadium, which is literally across the street, the convention's sessions are underway.
During that time, students are getting awarded for different leadership and career development events, agri-science fair projects, proficiency awards, you name it. So it's a great time to learn what kind of project or contest you'd like to be involved in next year while watching other students get recognized at a national level.
What's Amira's advice for those coming to the National FFA Convention and Expo?
I encourage you to do as much as you can possible. Soak up each and every experience. Find some time to go to the expo. Find some time to go to multiple sessions. Find some time to explore and to meet people. There's no reason we can't walk away with more friends than what we came with. And so I encourage you to just be present, even when your feet might hurt from walking, and just continue to enjoy and find ways to get involved and engage.
And we'll have full coverage throughout the convention in downtown Indianapolis at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. Well, Election Day is fast approaching, and Eric Pfeiffer joins us now with a preview of his Indiana Ag Policy podcast, highlighting one of the biggest races on the ballots November 5th, the race for Indiana governor and lieutenant governor.
Time to give agriculture a seat at the table again. I'm going to tell you this right now. Terry Gooden gets elected as lieutenant governor. Agriculture is going to get its voice back in Indiana.
That's Terry Gooden, lieutenant governor candidate on the Democrat ticket. You'll find his name on the ballot with his running mate, Jennifer McCormick. We discussed a number of ag-related topics on the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, available now wherever you listen to podcasts. The Indiana Corn Growers Association and Indiana Soybean Alliance are supporting a bill this legislative session that would incentivize retailers to install infrastructure to sell higher blends of ethanol to consumers. Gooden says not only would he support the bill.
I'm going to see whatever you folks bring to the table, say here's what we would like to have, and I'm going to double it. I'm going to say, okay, let's look bigger than that. Let's look at a bigger picture. And I think in Indiana in the past, what the legislature has done is they've tried to do things on the cheap. Okay, you can't do things on the cheap, because if you do it on the cheap, you always have to come back and redo it, right? If agriculture does good in Indiana, that means our small communities do good. When our small communities do good in Indiana, that means our bigger communities do good, and that means the state of Indiana does good.
Indiana Farm Bureau President Randy Crone joined us on the podcast and asked Gooden about farmland property taxes. Here was part of his response.
Here's what I don't understand. We will go out and we'll recruit factories that will come in and pay people $12, $13 an hour and give them thousands and thousands of dollars of tax abatements. How come we're not treating our farmers the same way? Because that field is a factory for that farmer, just like that building that's sitting downtown employing so many folks or making the hubcaps, right? So how come farmers aren't treated equally when it comes to taxation and as we move forward? So that's going to be a huge part of it. But let's be clear here. Our opponents are not serious about the property tax issue and the property tax crisis because they created it.
We are still working to align schedules with good opponents on the Republican side to have them on the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast as well. Election Day is November 5th. Get out and vote. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And I'm CJ Miller. Who's your Ag Today? Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here, it looks like a mostly dry week is upon us. We're looking at some moisture trying to hold together in the Four Corners region, kicking out to the east today, tracking across parts of Nebraska and Kansas. Tomorrow, this works its way through Iowa, Missouri, and into Illinois. But overnight tomorrow night into Wednesday, thing pretty much just falls apart. There's still going to be some cloud cover that tries to come through, but with regard to moisture, I just don't see much. I don't think we see anything more than a spit or a sprinkle in northwest Indiana before daybreak Wednesday morning, and that is it. We stay warm and dry otherwise through Wednesday. Cold air trying to break free and move across the Great Lakes region through Wednesday into early Thursday. I think we'll see temperatures back off a little bit here, but not really get cold. I'm not having any concern about that at all. And then once we get into the later part of the week, Thursday night into Friday, that cool push of air goes away, lifting off to the north and east, and we should settle in with a dry weather and a warmer weather behind it. I do think that we have our next round of moisture trying to come in here for Friday night into early Saturday morning. Nothing well organized. This has been kind of coming in and out of data for the past day and a half, 2 days. I don't think there is a very strong frontal boundary there, but we'll just have to kind of see what wants to hold true. Moving into the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we see high pressure nearby. That gives us sunshine, blue sky, and very little precipitation. Clouds coming in overnight, Sunday night into Monday, maybe a few spits and sprinkles there. Better chance for moisture with a frontal boundary likely toward midweek next week. Wednesday the 30th into Thursday the 31st, Halloween, could bring some moisture back to the Hoosier State. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Losses to end the week in corn, beans, and wheat. Sharp losses in beans and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. Settlements on the way. We'll start, though, with market analysis. For that, I spoke with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading in the middle of Friday trade. Brian, a little bit of pressure on the corn and soybean markets. Even after good export sales, the pressure could be coming in part from the wheat market, sharply lower. So let's start there. Why the fall in wheat? And is that indeed pressuring corn and beans?
Well, thanks for having me, Andy. It's always a volatile market around harvest time, and we're seeing that this year. I think the wheat market is just looking at a lack of demand. We're seeing more improvement in Argentina than we've seen weather-wise. The last few weeks have been in a drought, so they're seeing some good rainfall down there. And we also saw some rainfall across some dry areas of Russia. That had been an area of concern for the market also as planting had got underway here in the northern hemisphere. And we just don't have that demand push in the wheat that we sometimes see this time of year. China, for example, came in last year at this time, and we saw some good sales of soft wheat to China. We are not seeing that this year. So that's a demand note. And I did overlook one thing, that we're looking for some rain also this weekend, Andy, out west in the U.S., out in western Kansas, eastern Colorado, Texas Panhandle, that area that had been quite dry. So I think it's all just kind of a combination of things. And as you said a moment ago, spilling over into the row crops, corn and beans, we're seeing a really rapid harvest pace, Andy, here in 2024, maybe historically fast in some areas. Beans are wrapping up in many areas here. And with the wide open weather we're expected to see over the next several days, a good chunk of the corn could be gone too. But I would encourage your listeners here as they begin to wrap up harvest, Andy, just a second to share some thoughts on marketing. We just really want to get control of these bushels, some record yields being seen in many cases. I just suggest that you get a marketing plan in place to get a full underneath these bushels, leave the upside open. Every year is different. We don't know what's going to happen moving forward as we harvest our crops. They're just starting the planting season in South America, in Brazil and Argentina. So just a thought there to share. But I think it's just a little bit of harvest pressure here sneaking in on corn and beans too, along with that sharp sell-off in wheat, as you said.
Will that harvest pressure continue, you think, next week?
Well, some of it may depend on the export business. We've seen some good export flashes last week, so we're seeing end users, Andy, put their toe in the water, as it were, and buy these lower prices. We had some good export sales, as you mentioned earlier this morning, announced from USDA on beans and corn. So we're seeing that start to take place here. There are a lot of indications that the U.S. is going to be in the driver's seat for corn exports for several months here. Without going too far into details, we're looking at a smaller harvest in Brazil. We're looking at continuation of the uncertainty about Ukraine. Obviously, not only their shipping ability with the war going on, but also their crop size. So I think the U.S. could be the main supplier of corn going forward. So I think the short answer to your question is, how much export demand will we see surface here? Are we going to see a lot of export sales creep in here, or just maybe users back off and see what these final yields turn out to be? But I think for the short term here, harvest wide open, barring some surprise business, let's say, from China, especially in corn, it may be difficult to sustain a rally here as you go into the last half harvest.
You talked about the harvest pace. What about yields and just some general idea from you and what you're hearing as to whether or not we're getting those really robust numbers that we thought we would?
The general feel that I'm getting, Andy, is that the later planted soybeans are not yielding quite as well as the early planted soybeans. It was a general trend across the Midwest that we did not see the late season rains that really would have benefited those later planted beans, especially the double crop beans. So the really stellar yields that we saw early in the bean harvest, those are maybe tailing off a bit here as we wrap up the last, 20 to 30% of harvest, maybe 30-35% of harvest. Regardless, maybe those bean yields aren't quite as stout as what they were earlier. Corn, I'd say they're just as stout as they were earlier for now, anyway. We're really seeing some stellar corn yields being reported. Not universal. There are some pockets that aren't ideal. I don't ever want to say that everyone's looking at the some best crops ever, but it's certainly not uncommon to hear the best crops ever this year. And obviously USDA penciled in a record yield earlier this month. And I would say for the time being that maybe the bean yield's tailing off just a tad from what the USDA had earlier, but corn every bit of what USDA was earlier this month, I think.
Market analysis from economist Brian Basting with Advanced Trading. Brian's number 309-664-2314. Settlements from Friday trade down 2 on Dease corn, 404 3/4. March 419, a loss of 2 1/4. May down 2 1/4, 426 1/2. After Brian and I spoke, beans really plummeted, finishing down 18 3/4 for November, 970. In January, dipping to 982 3/4, down 15 1/4. A 16 3/4 cent loss on Dease wheat, 572 3/4. Meat markets higher. December live cattle, 187.32, up $1.15. December lean hogs, up 15 cents at 77.82. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.